right, this is our very first podcast. It's about a toolbox for mental fitness. What you have in that toolbox, how you use it.
Awesome. And I think we're going to talk about a way, too, to not just eat your food, but also enjoy it.
Oh, all right. Let's do it.
Sounds good. Awesome. So we would like to make these podcasts intentional, no? We want to give you guys stuff that's going to add value to your life. So for that reason, me and Leon will bounce back and forth with each other in not just two monologues, but more of a shared discovery. So let's dive right into it.
Let's do it.
Awesome. So today we're talking about Flow 255.
Right.
What is that, Leon?
What is it?
What is that?
Yes, Flow 255 is our toolbox for mental fitness at 2 months.
Okay.
And I like to think of solutions inside of us rather than solutions for us.
So toolbox.
Yeah, an internal toolbox. In a way, actually, you have a ton of capacities and abilities already inside you, right? But you may need some tools to train those capacities and abilities.
Sure.
And you may need some tools to apply them well. You may need some tools to test them. And so at 2 Minds, we came up with a methodology and a technology. So you could think of the toolbox as a method as well as a way to deliver the method. And the 255 refers to some of the tools that we give you or some of the things that you can work with. And they are basically 2 states of mind, 5 skills, and 5 perspectives.
Sounds like the researcher in Leon's coming out.
Yeah.
Sounds very systematic.
It's very nerdy, very nerdy. But think of it, when you think of mental fitness, right? Because that's the space that we're in. Or actually, let me take a step back. Think about physical fitness. If there are tons of methods that you can use to increase your physical fitness.
Sure.
And like an example could be Zumba. An example could be, you know, forms of yoga. It could be CrossFit. Now, the nice thing about having a method is that you can go to CrossFit in New York, to a gym, work out on Monday, fly to LA, and then on Tuesday or Wednesday, you go to the CrossFit gym and you can continue your workout. Why? Because there's method behind the madness. Some nerdy person like me thought about a method.
So you mean to say, Leon, that conscious stream of thought in my head, you're about to organize it? Because let me tell you, that's a scary place to be sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to go there.
Awesome. So we know a little bit about Flow 255 now and about where the name come from. Can you tell us what parts of mental fitness that's talking about? Maybe what are those skills and perspectives?
Right. So I think an important thing to realize that in terms of what state your mind can be in, you can roughly distinguish 2 states. And I'm not talking about mindsets, right? Because there's in psychology, there's the idea of having a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. I'm not talking about that type of, to me, that's not a state of mind. It's a mindset. It's more of a perspective. Do you look at something? Do you look at yourself as having fixed abilities or fixed characteristics, or do you see yourself as flexible and malleable and, you know?
Sure. So in 2 Minds, what 2 mindsets are we working with?
So I like to think of them as not as mindsets, but as a state of mind. So if you think about almost physiologically, what state can your mind be in? Then you can think of a state of mind where you are completely in this moment. You're simply being or you're simply doing. You're just executing. You're just operating. Right? And we've all experienced that. I know you're surfing, Shen.
That's it. I was already surfing in my mind. I was going to say, it sounds like the flow state, dropping in on a really nice wave.
Right. And when that happens, you're in it. There are tons of different words for it, right?
Sure.
In the zone, flow state, peak performance state. And we've all experienced that.
That would be operative.
That's what we call an operative state of mind.
Cool.
Exactly. You're simply operating. And as human beings, certainly the society that we're in right now tends to pull us towards a different state of mind, which is the state of mind that we like to call contemplative.
The monkey mind, huh?
A monkey mind. Exactly. Exactly. We're, as human beings, we're really good at that part compared to, you know, other animals in the animal kingdom, so to speak.
You know, sure.
We can contemplate, man. We can think about what happened in the past. Like, oh, that was great. That was not so great.
Doing some mental gymnastics.
Exactly.
Hey, that reminds me of a good quote, actually. And this was given in our blog post. All right. I'm going to share it with you guys now. Modern day society tends to keep our minds in a contemplative mind state. We constantly think, emote, evaluate, or plan ahead. While that contemplative mindset may have taken us to the top of the food chain, it prevents many of us from enjoying the food.
The food, yeah, exactly. I know that quote because I wrote it. Yeah, so that, whether that was written well or not, well, you can be the judge of that. But basically what I'm trying to say is that, yes, as human beings, we can evaluate the past. We can plan for the future. Mm. That is awesome. You know, there's, when we talk about these two states of mind, that's the two in 255, right?
Gotcha.
When we talk about these two states of mind, there's not one better than the other.
Mm.
We need them both.
Totally.
The question is, can we use them at the right time? Because if you think about your contemplative state of mind, you, let's say, after this, we go home, well, we'll need some food.
Sure.
You better plan for that. Right? Did you get your groceries? Oh, yesterday I forgot to get my groceries. Well, you learned.
Sure.
Right? And I know Shan hates shopping for groceries.
Oh, I hate that.
Yes. So you plan it, right?
Sure.
You learn. That is an awesome ability that we have as human beings.
Sure.
And now we get to cooking, we're making our food, and let's say we're eating. Well, if at the time that we're eating, we're still contemplating. And let's say we're now worrying about, oh, I need to take the dog out. Oh, I need to do my laundry.
Mm.
Oh, I need to do this. I need to do that. But you're eating. At that point, you perhaps you have some great food in front of you, or perhaps somebody cooked for you, right? And really did their best. But your mind is elsewhere. So you're not using that operative state of mind where you are simply in the moment. You're just enjoying that food.
Sure, it sounds like missing the operative mindset could be a missed opportunity.
Would be a missed opportunity. So,
sure.
You know, I think the key thing in having a positive presence in your life and also optimizing performance, if we're talking about sports, is can you manage those states of mind properly? Can you use that operative state of mind or that state of mind where you're in the moment at the right time? Mm.
So learning when to use those mind states, it's not, is it a black and white? Is it a polarity thing or is there a sliding scale?
Oh yeah, good one. So there, we can be completely contemplative or completely operative. But it may not be always wise,
right?
Because, like I said, it's an art, but it's an art as well as a skill. And this is why we're trying to train people, right? Because it's a skill. But let's take being operative as an example. Let's take a negative example. So let's say I get really, really frustrated, okay? And we've all felt it.
Sure.
You know, and it may be in sports. Shan's done a ton of gymnastics, so I'm sure you've worked at things and it just didn't click.
Right? Such is life, right?
Yes, we all have that experience. Sometimes people get really, really frustrated or they get really angry.
Mm.
Well, the moment the emotion takes over. So I'm not talking about the process of getting frustrated. That's often contemplated, right? Because you're thinking, perhaps you have unrealistic expectations. And that's, there's a certain cognitive process happening when you get really frustrated.
Yeah.
But the moment the emotion takes over, you're in it.
Totally.
It switches.
Totally.
Right? And you don't think anymore. You don't make clear decisions anymore. You might be just freaking angry.
Totally.
Now, if you still had a little bit of contemplative awareness left, you could snap out of it.
Kind of like seeing yourself from the outside looking in. You feel like you're looking a little silly.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. But we lose that.
Sure.
Right?
We're human.
And so I feel that it's a sliding scale, but typically you want to be at the edges. Because the problem with these two states of mind is that they compete. So if we had like a string drawn from one side to the other side of the studio, and you'd be walking on the string, right? You'd be operative, I hope, because you're balancing, you're feeling, you're sensing everything,
sure.
Right? And it's hard. You have to be operative. Your senses have to dominate.
Mm-hmm.
If I go, hey, Shen, how much is 365 divided by 2.4?
Oh, you know I'm not good at math, Leon.
Well, then it's extra hard for you, right? Yeah. And then you're going to go, what do you mean? And before you know it, all that thought is going to interfere with you being operative. So there's conflict there. So it's a skill to manage that.
Sure.
And actually, you could call that overall skill, you could call it mind management.
Right? I like that.
And that requires some sub-skills.
Inside our toolbox.
Exactly, inside that toolbox.
So let's talk a little bit about should we start with the skills?
Sure.
The five skills?
Sure, yeah. So we flow 255, two states of mind, five skills, five perspectives.
Okay.
And it's why the company's called Two Minds. Mm-hmm. It's why the logo actually has, like on the outside, it has two parts, at the top five parts, at the bottom five parts.
Nothing. The system.
I'm nerdy, man.
I think that's great.
It's nothing happened by accident. But so five skills. The five, also I should clarify that, yes, I cooked up this method in a way, right? It's in a way my creation.
Sure.
But at the same time, everything that's in me is in me because I learned from other people.
Sure.
And I've just been very fortunate to meet people who had great ideas. And I took those ideas from various people. And I also did quite a bit of research. And that's how we came up with these five.
You mean you gathered these tools and then put them all together in an intelligent design inside your toolbox to create a system.
Man, that's why we have her. That's great.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Awesome. So tell me those five skills.
Yes. So the five skills are, I'm just going to name them first.
Sure.
They're realize, relax, reason, revise, and refocus.
Okay.
And they have an order. These five skills came to be because I did a lot of research as a scientist related to various things in healthcare, but also mental health.
Cool.
And so we had a good look at, I had a good look at various questionnaires that assess mental health, mental fitness. And some things come back. So I started to make note of what things come back in various questionnaires. That's one thing. And then on the other hand, I have been lucky to have been exposed to a lot of martial arts and meditative practices for martial arts since I was very young. And if you think of meditative practices that are practical, almost, say, functional meditation.
Sure.
Not the meditation for to become enlightened, right? But whatever that may mean. But the meditation to improve some kind of function. which is what you do in some traditional martial arts, some traditional Japanese martial arts. So based on that, I just looked, okay, if I go through that meditation, what steps do I take? Or what steps do these people take? And you can, it's just logic.
First.
So first, you calm your mind. Because
easier
whatever you want to do after the fact, if your mind's not calm, it's not going to hit the target. And one key thing before you make decisions or before you make changes to your behavior is that you actually base that on a view of reality that is fairly accurate. Right? And if you think of reality, us seeing reality, think of it as a reflection. Right? If we had, if our brain was like a lake and we just look at reality via that lake, well, that lake needs to be really smooth and calm.
Sure. So I calm the mind. I come out of a little bit of the contemplative mind.
Yes, exactly.
And then what do I do?
Exactly. Well, then you want to calm it further. But how do you do that? Well, your mind and your body are, you know, they're a package deal. Your mind influences your body, and your body influences your mind. So wouldn't it be smart if we could relax our body? Because that's going to calm our mind further.
Sure.
So we realize, we make sure that we calm our mind so we can see reality, and then we relax. Why? Because that will calm our mind further. It's not, it doesn't have, a, in our system, a specific physical purpose per se. It's just before we get to our reasoning and everything that follows, can we get to a really calm and pleasant state? So we realize, we relax. That comes first. Then the next one is reasoning. It's basically contemplating. You know, can we evaluate the past properly now that we're calm, now that we're relaxed? Can we plan for the future?
So first I'm jumping into more of that operative mind state. I'm being more into the moment and consciously being in that moment to calm myself, and then I jump into a contemplative mindset.
Exactly, exactly.
Cool, okay.
Exactly. And then there's a lot of talk on the internet about manifestation, about, you know, visualizing yourself doing successful things. But before you get there, you might want to think about what you're going to visualize, for example, or what you're going to project. So that reasoning needs to come before you do those projections.
Sure.
So we have, and the projections are part in our system of revising. They're oriented towards revising, making a change to your life, to practical behaviors. So that's revise. And then the last one is refocus, which is basically forgetting everything you just did.
Drop back into the moment.
You go back to more operative, right? But now the difference, we could have named both realize. Both are very operative, but the first one focuses more on, we use internal awareness techniques because those are typically more calming. And then in the refocusing part, we use external awareness techniques because they're typically more exciting. Plus, in the end, you have to engage with the world outside of you.
Sure, sure.
So that is, those are, and I went through a lot of trouble to make those five skills start with an R.
What sounds like quite the creativity. And it also sounds like quite a dance between the contemplative and operative mindset. I mean, it kind of teaches you, correct me if I'm wrong, Leon, but how to dance between those two mindsets.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. That's the mind management part.
Sure.
And then just very briefly about the perspectives. I think first I thought you just need the skills. Right? We don't typically, in mental health, mental fitness, we don't do enough of the skill training. A lot of it is very cognitive. But the trouble is, and we all know this, you can know what to do, but it doesn't mean you can do it.
Right.
I work with tennis players, and there are tons of professional tennis players who have done plenty of consults with, you know, extremely knowledgeable people who've given them very good advice. They know exactly what to do. But Now there's 10,000 people in a stadium. They're all yelling. Well, you know what to do, but can you do it? That's a different thing.
Sure. Can you perform?
Yeah. And I, initially, when we started developing the system, we thought, if you have the skills, you're good. But it turns out that we tend to lose perspective when the adrenaline goes up.
Sure. And that could be in the sporting arena or you know, at the business table.
Yes.
You know, in the business world. Or just the working world, you know? It can be a lot of pressure.
Yes. Right now, we focus on sports. It's mostly tennis at the moment.
Sure.
But yeah, all of this is applicable across the board.
To the perspectives.
So, you, yeah, thank you.
I'm like, where were we?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a German side to Shan here.
In America, we call
well,
it type A.
Me too. Yes. So, perspectives and also skills typically go out the window when the adrenaline goes up. So your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up, your muscles tend become more tense, you don't think as clearly. Perspectives go out the window. And so it turns out that if you can work on perspectives as well as skills, that's the magical combination, right?
Cool.
So if I have good, for example, I'm nervous before I start a tennis match, or you know, I have a golf game and I'm really nervous. Then realization and relaxation skills become really important.
Sure.
So when the adrenaline goes up, skills and perspectives both go out the window. And it's actually important for your skills to work if you can keep your perspectives. So let's take the perspective that you and I sitting here is a gift. You know, the fact that we can do this. Or we go outside, it's November, we're in Santa Cruz, it's sunny, we can just enjoy the weather here, right? And we can move the way we move.
Sure.
That is a gift. And now that we talk about this, and you know, if you think about it on the other end of the camera here, you may understand that. You can go, as you're watching this video, you're probably in a pretty comfortable situation because you're watching this video.
Sure.
You know, you're probably comfy, you might have a cup of coffee. Well, you know, if I tell you, you're freaking lucky, you might understand that. But if you're a professional tennis player and you step into a stadium and there's 10,000 people cheering for your opponent, can you still have that perspective? That's hard.
Sure.
Right? And it's hard for various reasons. You might be thinking, oh, this is unfair. You might have tons of different perspectives that conflict with that, what we call a gift perspective. But we can actually train you, right? Because associated with that gift perspective is a positive emotion, namely gratitude. If you truly see something as a gift, and you will start to feel that, you will have some level of gratitude. Well, that's in your brain, man. Right? And
so
you have control over it.
Are those the first two, or how does, is gift is one?
Oh, that, thank you. So we have five perspectives. There's a gift perspective.
Mm-hmm.
There's a joy perspective.
Mm.
There's an opportunity perspective, a lesson perspective, and a unity perspective. I won't go into detail, right? But basically, these perspectives teach you that in every experience, no matter what, somewhere in there, you can find a gift. It might be tough. It might be very uncomfortable.
Sounds like a good practice to have, though.
Yes. And what can be really valuable is that you learn to associate the thought of that perspective or that perspective with a positive emotion. For example, gratitude. Or when we talk about opportunity, if you see something as an opportunity, man, you get engaged.
Sure.
You get excited, right? And I often, with some of my students, I compare it to a dog on the beach. Right? You got a dog on the beach, you got a stick or you got a ball. Man, so excited.
Because they have the opportunity to play, just like us.
Yes. And the funny thing is, they're so in the moment because they go after the ball and they've already forgotten that you've thrown it before, right? Because there's a new opportunity.
Right.
Because every experience has it. Every experience.
And probably easy to take when it doesn't go your way, that it can become a lesson.
Yes, that's another perspective.
Right.
Right. You can actually, besides the fact that you can train skills under a certain level of pressure, which is what we do in Two Minds, we create physical pressure mm-hmm. to train our mental skills. Mm-hmm. You can do the same with the perspectives, right? So I can create, and actually, that's what Shan does with you guys. Mm-hmm. You get your heart rate up, you get your adrenaline up, you get your blood pressure up. Now, can you generate that positive emotion through your projection skills?
Mm.
Ooh. Now it gets interesting, right?
Sure.
Because if you can do that under like difficult conditions rather than just hanging out on the couch, it's easy. Right? If you have, take relaxation as a skill, you plug in your earbuds, you're on the couch and you got some incense burning, you got some waterfall sounds, it's easy. But it's not so easy after we do your workout.
Right.
Now we're getting much closer to the physiological conditions that people are in when they perform under pressure. Mm. And that's really what the toolbox is about.
Well, I'm really looking forward to learning this 255 flow.
Let's go.
Yeah, and you know what? I also think it's about lunchtime here in Santa Cruz, so maybe instead of contemplating eating our food, we should also enjoy our food.
Enjoy the food.
Yeah, enjoy our food.
All right.
Let's do it.